If you would open up your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation 13. If you're new, if you're visiting with us today, we are a Bible teaching fellowship. We are going through the Bible chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse, methodically. We didn't jump into Revelation because of what's going on right now in the Middle East. We happen to be here as a result of what's going on, which is a miracle to me. And if you're watching your news, you see that things are heating up. I find it fascinating to see. I was given a document this morning. I'm going to check it out some more, but that the leader of the United Nations is now calling for the United Nations to get involved in this Israeli conflict to stop the Jews and to stop the violence. And he's asking the whole world to gather together. Interesting news. I'll let you know. But I find it fascinating because here we see that the information that we are getting is that they have been able to uncover terrorist activities such as bomb building plants. They've gone into buildings where they have cars that are already preloaded with explosive, vans that were preloaded for explosives, just ready to drive into Israel somewhere, into the West Bank somewhere, and blow up Jews. They have found hundreds of belts that these people are using for the, now they're, if you noticed, Washington's calling them homicide missions, where they found hundreds of these belts, explosive factories, rocket launching factories, not to mention the Hezbollah up in the northern section of Lebanon is launching this attack against Israel. And Israel's just trying to say, we're doing the same thing the United States is, we're trying to stop terrorism, and the whole world is saying, what do you guys think you're doing over there? If it were happening here, trust me, we would not put up with that. So watch the news, and here's another website. Write this down. You got a pencil? If you're reading the news and you're looking at websites, check this one out. It's called Debkafile, D-E-B-K-A, file, F-I-L-E, .com. Giving up-to-date military information as it comes available. It's there. Stuff that you're not going to get in CNN, that's for sure. Take a look at that. Some of it's a little exaggerated, know that, but you can sure get some of the basic information if you'd like to keep track of what's really going on in the Middle East. Debkafile.com. Here we are, and we're talking about this hatred of the Palestinian people against Israel, the hatred of much of the world against Israel. It's called anti-Semitism, where they hate the Semites, they hate the Jews. Where did this come from? Well, we learned in chapter 12 that this started way beyond the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. This started when Satan got kicked out of heaven because he was saying, I want to be like God. I will be like him. And God said, no, you won't. In fact, you're out of here. Kicks him out of heaven. Satan lands upon the earth, is banished to earth, where he has then since unleashed his hatred of sin and debauchery against God's chosen people, the Jews and the Christians. And if you've been noticing, if you've been watching the news, you've seen Satan has launched this hate against the Jews right now, as well as, if you're noticing, the church is under attack also. Right now, it's through this attack upon the Catholic Church, but really it's revealing things that have been happening. But Satan hates the church. He hates you and he hates me. And he's launched this attack. And it goes back beyond the Palestinians. It goes all the way back to when Satan was kicked out of heaven. And it will culminate at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of the millennial period, literally, when Satan is banished into the lake of fire for all of eternity. Satan knows how the book's going to end. We also know that God, in chapter 12, gave John a quick look at where this origin of hatred began, so that you and I will understand, why is all this happening? Why is this hatred against the Jews? Why do people not see that what the United States is doing against terror, the Jews are doing against terror, and there's this somehow this seemingly double standard? Why? It goes back to Satan's hatred against the Jews. We also see in this particular section, that not only did God want John to see that, he wanted him to see how this whole thing's going to end. Because there are three sets of series of judgments or consequences that are being unleashed upon the world during the tribulation period. The first section was the seals, seven of them opened, consequences poured out upon the earth. The second, the trumpets. And then finally, we'll see the bowl judgments. We'll get into those in a couple of weeks. The bowl judgments. At the end of that, earth will no longer exist the way that it has in the past. God knows that, and he wants John to see, this is why, John, things are happening as you are looking at them as he is being given the revelation. And so that brings us to chapter 13, which you will find to be absolutely fascinating, but I want to assure you, God loves you. And even during this time, I want to warn you, you don't have to see the tribulation period. You can be a part of the church. You can give your heart to Jesus Christ and you can be removed from this time that is going to come upon the earth. You don't have to be a part of that because God loves you. And he wants to give you his e-ticket ride called the rapture, the removal of the church. Chapter 13, we are in the middle of the tribulation period. Check it out. Actually, let me do this. We have to include verse 17 of chapter 12 because they are connected together. Watch and see the flow. Chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon, who we learned last week, Satan, was enraged with the woman, Israel. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who did not keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the church. Then it says, I, if you're reading from New King James, if you're reading from King Jimmy, I believe that it says he. Here, if you have an I there, there's a little asterisk there. If you look down in your footnote, it'll say he. So it's connecting it with the dragon. Then he, the dragon, stood on the sand of the sea. And now I, John, saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And on his horns, ten crowns. And on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. The dragon gave it to him, this beast. And I saw one of his heads, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months or 3.5 years. So you see, we're in the middle of the tribulation of 7-year period. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to cover them, to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, or in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads to captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword will be killed with the sword. And here he says, is the patience and the faith of the saints. At first reading, we read that and you go, what in the world is that all about? What is going on with this section? Well, we see now it is time for the earth to finally meet the beast, the real beast. And remember that Satan is a deceiver. He is a liar. In fact, the Bible tells us he is a liar, the father of all lies. He is an imitator. He is not original in anything that he does. He is an imitator. He is a deceiver. And in this, and this is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Why? To deceive God's people. And he says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So Satan is this imitator. Now check this out. God is a triune being. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. The three are yet one. You can distinguish between them, but you cannot separate them. The three are one. So here we see that is known as the Trinity or the triunity of God. In chapter 13, we will see the imitator who will develop an imitation trinity, a satanic trinity. We saw already in this first section here that the dragon gives power and authority to the beast. And so notice that in this particular section, as John is looking at this vision that God is giving him while he's taken up into heaven, and God gives him this vision, and he sees the dragon or Satan standing on the seashore, and then rising up out of the sea comes the beast. It should be understood, first of all, that some of these things are being spoken metaphorically, okay? In this section, in order to understand some of these passages, it's not that Satan is standing on the sea checking out the waves, standing on the sand going, hey, there's a nice tube right there. What we see here is the sea of humanity. We have used that term before. The sea is a metaphoric use of humanity. And where we get that, using the Bible as our commentary, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, it says, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So here we have Satan standing on the edge of humanity, standing on the edge of the nations of people, calling out of the middle of the nations the beast. Now the beast is an interesting word. It literally means an animal, a wild beast. But again, it is not Satan calling up this wild beast, because who's going to worship that? It's a metaphoric use of a bestial man, a man that's a total animal, a man that is savage and ferocious. But here, remember this, that when we start talking about the beast, we are talking about none other than the Antichrist himself. Now, the Antichrist literally means, Antichrist means against Christ. So it's important for us to remember that. Because up until now in chapter 13, Antichrist, and again, we in Revelation, it doesn't keep everything going in perfect order. Sometimes he shows us things in the future that have not yet happened. So the beast is called out of the midst of this sea of humanity. It tells us that he has 10 horns on the top of his head. So this man, we know from reading Daniel chapter 9, this beast, this Antichrist, is going to come up out of the European community of 10 nations. More on that in just a minute. But here we find that up until this particular moment in time, Antichrist has been operating under perfect, you know, everyone's looking at this guy as, wow, he's Mr. Wonderful. He's Mr. GQ. He is just a guy that has, you know, made a peace treaty, and he's a friend of Israel. And everybody's looking at this guy saying, wow, isn't he just awesome? And I bring that to your attention because I want you to notice something. Sometimes people have asked me the question, during the Gulf War, people were asking me the question, well, Pastor, do you think that Saddam Hussein is the Antichrist? I said, no. Well, is Bill Clinton? No. Even though I might want to say yes, no. Okay? Let me tell you why. Antichrist is not going to be this beast in the beginning. When he first comes upon the scene, man, he's a smooth operator, smooth talker. Italian, you know, Gucci suits, and he's going to look good, and all the world's going to say, wow, we love this guy. Here's a guy we can trust. Did we trust Saddam Hussein? Did we trust Bill Clinton? Not hardly. Do we trust him now? Never, as far as we could throw him. So then you get the idea then that Antichrist in the beginning is going to be someone that's going to win the hearts of all the world. And so in the beginning, this guy's going to be smooth. He's going to be glassy smooth. It can't be Saddam Hussein. It can't be Bill Clinton. It can't, and for that matter, it can't be any political leader that I see on the scene right now. But I'll tell you what. If we are as close to the return of Jesus Christ as I think we are, I would be willing to bet you that he's alive right now somewhere. Moving up the ranks, because the beast is going to be a politician, smooth as silk. And I believe that he is moving through the ranks of the political arena even as we speak right now. And at some point, the world is going to look at this man and say, wow, this guy's good. He made a peace treaty in Israel between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Man, he's good. And at first, he's going to appear to be this awesome guy. It's not until the middle of the tribulation period that the beast is going to come out in him. So you're not looking for a beast right now. We're looking for a smooth operator. Actually, we're not looking for Antichrist at all. We're looking for Jesus Christ, because that's the next one that's going to come to get us, you see. But just for your information, Antichrist is going to come upon the scene, and according to Daniel chapter 9, you can read that. In the middle of this, he was going to confirm a covenant with many for 1 week or one part of this 3.5 year period. The final 7 years. In the middle of the week, he will bring an end to sacrifice and offerings. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even till the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. He will make some sort of a peace deal at the beginning of the tribulation period. 3.5 years in, he will reveal his true colors. He's going to break the deal. He's going to walk in. He's going to command to be worshipped. And we will discover that today. But this world ruler in the middle of this is going to be his satanic driven power will be revealed to the world. And everybody's going to say, uh-oh, we've been duped again. And then it will be too late because he will have already gained power. I would encourage you, write this down, read it this afternoon while this is still fresh in your mind. Read Daniel chapter 7. It goes along with Revelation 13. Three animals are used to describe the beast that is resembling Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel has four beasts that represented four successive empires. Babylon. World, when I mean by empires, they ruled the known world. And you can look at that in your history books if you need to. Babylon, represented by the lion. Medo-Persia, the bear. Greece is the leopard. And then the kingdom of Rome, from which Antichrist will come back out of. Now you say, but wait a minute, Rob. Rome fell many years ago. Yes, but it will be revived. In fact, did you know that right now, the European community is their goal, is to be a world governing power. So that the European community, of which right now there are 12, I have a euro dollar in my office, Guy got one when we came back from Russia, 12 stars in a circle on this euro dollar that we have. Now, it is a couple of weeks ago, Switzerland was saying, okay, we're going to join the European community, which would then be 13. But wait a minute, Rob, I'm confused. Didn't you say there would be 10 nations in the European community? Yes. Well, there's 13. I know. There will be 10. Well, but there's not 10 now. How is that going to happen? I don't know. The Bible says that there's going to be 10 nations in this European community. So, how is that going to happen? I don't know. I know some ideas. Right now, we see that Germany and Austria are saying, hey, let's just take down our borders and we'll be one nation. If they do that, they got to remove the star that represents Austria or Germany. Then that would cut one star out. A couple more of those, and we got 10 nations. I don't know how it's going to happen. I know there's 12 right now. I know there could be 13. Who knows? It could be 20 by the time it's over. But I'm going to ask you this one question. The Bible says 10. How many do you think there will be?
10.
Very good. Very good. You get an A for the day. I will only go 5 minutes over. So the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, you'll see that when you read Daniel 7, is this man, this beast that comes up out of these 10 nations. He rises up out of this European community. Now, someone asked me after first service, they said, do you believe that the Antichrist will be a Jew? I will give you my opinion. I believe that he is going to come out of a European community. So he has to be European. But it is quite possible that he could be a European Jew. Just as we have American Jews, he could be a German Jew or an Italian Jew or something of that nature. And the reason that I say that is he will have access into the temple and the Temple Mount. And I don't believe that would be given to anyone unless he forced his way in. It's my opinion. We don't really know. We just do know one thing the Bible tells us, he will rise up out of the European communities. Okay? So we see then that this man, this beast, and by the way, did you catch this? And as he describes these different animals, he says he was a leopard, a bear, and a lion. And yet, when you read this in Daniel chapter 7, you're going to see it reversed. And they will talk about, the lion and so forth, going backwards. And you, at first, I questioned, I went, wait, it's backwards. Oh, then I realized, oh, of course it is. Daniel is looking at it in the future. John is on this side looking backwards. Interesting. God is very, very good about detail. So just don't let that confuse you when you read it. But also what's amazing here is that verse 3 gives the idea that Antichrist is going to be killed, mortally wounded, but he will then be healed. So many commentators, and I personally believe, that this Antichrist is going to be killed, and then he will resurrect. And the reason that I share that with you is because we see Satan is in the process of imitating the Trinity of God. Satan, the one, the dragon, who gives power and authority to the beast, who represents, or in the Holy Trinity, you have the Father working through the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was killed and resurrected. Here we now see Satan trying to imitate this thing with satanic means. This beast, this Antichrist, this one who would duplicate Jesus, it's only fitting that he would be killed and then resurrected from the dead. Because notice the reason that that would be is all the world marveled and followed the beast and they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. When they see that, whoa, he was dead and he raised from the dead. Oh my goodness, he's the Savior of the known world at that time. So it would be fitting that Satan would do something crazy like that. And now we see then that because this beast, this man, the Antichrist, is satanic, when people marvel at him, he turns and he points them back to Satan himself. And so now Satan is beginning to get what he has desired for a long time, worship. He wanted it in heaven. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 14, in verse 13, we read, for you have said in your heart, speaking of Satan or Lucifer, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights and above the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. Satan says into heaven, I will get the worship of heaven. God said, no, you won't. You're out of here. So he's been trying to get the worship of the earth and to steal the worship of earth, of the people of earth, for himself. And at this point in the tribulation period, it appears like he's getting it. But you know what? Satan always, he always misses the tail end of these texts. Chapter 14, verse 15 of Isaiah says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the grave, to the lowest depth of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms? In other words, at the end of this, Satan is going to be taken down. That's it. Your time is done. He'll be taken out, and people will look at him and say, that's a dude we were afraid of? And that will be the ultimate in humiliation against him. Satan's going down. He will get worship for a short season of time, but then he's going down. But notice also that this Antichrist has limited power. He is on a leash that is only so long, and God has the other hand of the leash in his hand. And so, just like a dog, you know, runs out, and then all of a sudden he hits the end of the leash, whoa, and his feet go up and hits on his back. Satan's on a leash. And God's saying, oh, that's it. That's all the farther you go. No, that's it. And he is allowing this so that people will be able to be saved during the tribulation period. Satan using the Antichrist, people that like maybe you. If you're sitting here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've been playing the game, going to church, or doing, you know, good things and thinking, I'll get to heaven by being a good person. And suddenly, you see the church, poof, gone. People that you knew and loved, gone. You see me, out of here. And you're saying, uh-oh. Pastor Rob was right. I just thought he was a total wacko right-wing fundamentalist. He wasn't. I thought he was just amped up. Thought he had too much caffeine. Maybe he was right. And suddenly, the events that we have been studying about, because, gang, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're never going to see chapter 13. We're not going to see the Antichrist. We're going to see Jesus Christ. We're going to go be with him for 7 years while the earth goes through this time. But if you sit here today and you have not given your life to the Lord, or you once did and you've walked away, and suddenly you find yourself here, these events are going to start happening like clockwork. You're going to see a man make a peace deal. All the world's going to look at him and say, wow, this guy's awesome. Political leader, politician that's honest and we can trust him. Now, I know that's an oxymoron. Trustable politician. I don't know. But during this time, it's going to happen. Everybody's going to be in love with him. Then all of a sudden, you're going to see this guy walk into the temple in Jerusalem, the rebuilt temple. And at that moment, you need to get out of here. And at that moment, you'll see Antichrist, and his chain is only so long. That is a clue for you to say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you now. I missed it when Rob was telling me about it on April 14th, the day before tax day. God, I missed the chance. But I don't want to miss this chance. People are going to get saved during this time, and you will be able to. But why in the world would you want to wait? Well, during this time, those that are getting saved, as it closes off there in verse 10, it says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Or literally, it will be their opportunity to show their faith. Why? People, Christians, are going to be persecuted heavily. If you've made it through the first 3.5 years, during the final 3.5 years, it's going to get uglier. Antichrist coming on with political pressure will start to put pressure on the Christian people, killing them with the sword. This is a time for you as a Christian to say, take me, at least I'm out of here. And your faith will be seen and evident to all that are around you. Now I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. I thought you said there was a Trinity. We're missing someone. You've talked about Satan, you've talked about the Antichrist, but we're still missing someone. Okay, let me show you who he is. Verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, or your Bible might say the land, probably more accurately the land. And he had two horns like a lamb, only he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. So he kind of looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship. Very important that you understand those two words, to worship. The first beast, who was deadly wounded and was healed, he, the second beast, performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth and in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And, verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Check this out, verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, verse 18 says, let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now we have this second beast, or the third person of the satanic trinity. Notice who this guy is. He gets people to worship. He points people to the second beast, to Antichrist. This guy comes from the land, not from the sea of people, from the nations. This guy comes out of the land. Now, typically, when we speak of, whenever you see in the Bible, the land, it is always referring to the land, Israel. So this guy is going to come out of the land of Israel. He is going to be a prophet, although a false one. He will be a religious leader. The Antichrist is a political leader. This man will rise up into power, and his job is to get people into a one-world religion, worshiping the beast or the image of the beast. He will be a false prophet coming out saying things that will not come true. But his function and his duty is to get people to focus on religion or worship. And they will develop a one world religion. Which, don't you think it's fascinating that we live in this time that we live in? Because right now we see the beginning rumblings. Can't we all just get along? Can't you Christians just back off of some of your faith? Can't we just take the Bible and take out all the offensive things in there? Can't we take out all the masculine words out of the Bible? And by the way, you do know that NIV put one out, where they take out he, him. It's no longer God the Father. It's just God, I don't know what they say, the person or something. If you see one, just chuck in the trash. Worthless. But here we see that this is happening right now. Come on. Let's just get along. And they want you to do that. And in order to do that, we have to compromise the truth of the Word of God. Never, ever buy into that, gang. Don't buy into that. But here we see that this false prophet, he plays the Holy Spirit in pointing people to the first beast. The Holy Spirit is the one that leads us in worship. This one is going to, now this third person of this satanic trinity, will imitate the work of the Holy Spirit in causing people to worship the second beast, the Savior. Look at him. He's the one with all the answers. Come on. Let's all get together. And he will do so. He will be able to do miracles, calling down fire from heaven, from the sky. Interesting. Sound familiar? False prophet is going to duplicate the things that were done by Moses and Elijah, who will come alive during this time. They will be put to death. They will resurrect. They will rise to heaven. Then all of a sudden, he said, I can do that too. I can call down fire from heaven also. That's no big deal. Duplicate and imitate, only to deceive people. And it's amazing because Jesus warned us that this was going to happen. When he was talking about last days, when he was talking about end times, in Matthew 24, Jesus said, speaking about that time, that if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, the chosen ones. Not saying that it will. He's saying if it's possible, these signs and these miracles and signs and wonders will be used to deceive people. Before we move on, let me just share something about that real quick, okay? This is why I encourage you all the time not to fall for the latest, greatest things. Oh, man, miracle service happening down here. Signs and wonder service happening over here. And I'm, you guys are so awesome because oftentimes you'll come to me and say, Rob, what do you think about this? Should we go check it out? And I'll say, why are you asking me? Well, because I don't know if it's good. Very good. Go upon what God has already placed in your heart. Because you see, here's the deal. Nowhere in Scripture, anywhere, are we told to follow signs, wonders, and miracles. Nowhere. We are told to follow Jesus Christ. And when we do that, signs, wonders, and miracles will follow that. And so when you see someone which their initial thing to draw people in is, come to the healing service, man. We're going to make people's legs grow. You're going to see miracles that you've never seen before. Whenever, or it's their name, Benny Hinn Ministries. When I see that stuff, I warn you, be careful. Because, let's face it, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to be used by Satan. They have been used by Satan to deceive people. But when you're following after Jesus Christ, you will not be deceived. If you look in the book of Acts and you see, nowhere did Paul say, Paul Ministries, come and see signs, wonders, and miracles. Did you see that? No. Come and see Peter resurrect and pull people that are paralyzed up out of the ground. What we saw is the disciples going out seeking after and obedient to Jesus Christ, and signs and wonders followed after them. And people followed that. You see, if you are in a group of people that are saying, we're just going to follow Jesus, we're going to focus on Jesus, and then you see the miraculous happen, praise God. But if you go there for the sake of that, be warned, be careful, you can be deceived. Little side note, just as a warning, because Satan is launching his attack, he's going to use it in the tribulation period, and I believe that he's using it even now to deceive many, many people out of a lot of money. Follow after Jesus, gang. He won't rip you off, and he'll never deceive you because he loves you so much. Well, that be as it may, even Paul, he also told us this. He said, hey, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They followed after the miraculous instead of the truth of the word, and they got deceived and they got ripped off. Don't fall for it. Be wise. So these miracles during the tribulation period will be used to deceive those who haven't yet yielded to Jesus. But this guy, this religious leader, is also on a chain. That's all the farther he goes. He will only be able to go so far. But the false prophet is the one who makes this image of the beast, of the Antichrist. Now, only until recently has this started to make sense. Antichrist is going around, killed, resurrects. He's going around as a political leader making all kinds of deals. 3.5 years in, he goes ballistic, cuts the deal with Israel, starts persecuting, killing Christians. Anybody that thought he was wonderful now sees this guy as satanic. Okay? The religious leader makes an image of him. Probably this may be the image that is put into the temple. For years, many Bible scholars wondered, what in the world could be this image? Now remember, they used to think it was a statue that he would set up, much like the one in the book of Daniel, this big statue. Worship the beast, the image of this big image of King Nebuchadnezzar statue. But this one, we are told, comes to life and starts to speak blasphemy. Could it be, just food for thought, could this image be a robot? Could this image be an android of some sort? An unreal mechanical machine? How many of you have ever been to Disneyland and seen the Abraham Lincoln thing? That trips me out, boy. The only thing is you can hear click, 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 click. You can hear his fingers moving, you know what I mean? But when our kids were little, they said, wow, Abraham, I didn't know Abraham Lincoln was still alive. It'll fake kids out. Could this thing be some sort of an android, some sort of a creation that will trip people out? He's not real. But then at some point, he says, I am a real boy. And he starts to speak. And all of a sudden, he starts to speak these, maybe, who knows? He says that Satan breathes life. Who knows if this android suddenly becomes this real being? At least the bottom line is people perceive him to be real. And he starts to utter blasphemous things. And all the world then worships the beast, who then in turn points it back to Satan, who is satanic origin this comes from. It's amazing. One world religion is not enough for Satan. He's being worshipped now. It was what he's wanted for his whole existence. But he wants full control over the world. I want to control the world. And so now he initiates a one world government system and a one world monetary system. And that's what we began to talk about in the tail end of this particular chapter. He wants a one-world government with global economic power so that he is in control of everything. Satan the imitator creates something, a mark that goes on the forehead or the hand of everyone. Fascinating, isn't it? Because, again, he's an imitator. Remember earlier on in Revelation, 144,000 Jews had the mark of God. Where? On their forehead. Satan make some sort of a mark that's going to go upon the people. But in this particular instance, it will be to control economy, the economic system of the world. Now, some people have said, why the forehead, why the hand? Well, I give you two reasons. First of all, my first reason is because that's usually the part that most of us never cover up with clothing. Very rarely do you wear gloves, and if you do, it's real easy to pop a glove off to have this your hand scanned in some manner to be able to purchase food or to transact business. Very rarely do we wear, you know, hats that can't just simply be taken off and pull it back on. I'll give you another reason. I've already given you one. He's imitating the mark that God gave to the Jews, 144,000. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, just after the great Shema, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, he then tells them this. You shall teach them the Shema, or the Shema, diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Again, Satan imitating the work of God, the work of what the Jews have been doing for years. In fact, when I take you to Israel next year, provided that we're still here and not in heaven watching this whole thing go down, you will see Jews with these big boxes, you know, right on their forehead, or boxes on their hands, big long strings hanging off. They take it literally, the Shema, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right on their forehead. So isn't it interesting that Satan says, I'm going to put a mark there to imitate what God has told the Jews to do. But I find this fascinating because many people have asked me, well, what does 666 mean? And I was going to take a whole Sunday and work on this, but you know what? I'm not going to waste that much time because we're not even going to be here for this. But I will tell you this. We are told right there, 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number of perfection. The closest he's ever going to get to perfection is 666. That'll be a humiliating mark upon his name. Jesus, number 7, man, perfection. Satan, closest you're ever going to get is triple sixes. That'll humble him. Many, many other things that I could share with you, but suffice it to say this. For years, people have been wondering, What in the world? How could we see the Roman Empire rise back up again? How can this happen? And we see it happening in our lifetime. January 1, the European community officially changed to the euro dollar. When we were in Germany last year, we saw the transition taking place. It had Deutschmark and then a euro right next to it. That after January 1, Deutschmark is gone, euro is the only dollar amount you see now. European community, 12 communities joining together. Who would have ever dreamed that, guys? I remember back in the 70s, people wondering, how will the Roman Empire ever, you know, come back? And this is their desire, to revive the Roman Empire. Who would have ever dreamed this? Who would have ever dreamed that we would see Israel become a nation again? For those of you that are over, you know, that are in your 60s, that made it through World War II, would you ever dream that Israel would become a nation again, and then in 1948 they became a nation? Interesting. Do you know when the plans for the European community began? 1948. Same year as the Jews got their homeland back. Who would have ever dreamed that Israel would become a mighty power force that would be able to survive as long as they've had? We've seen that with our own eyes. Who would have ever dreamed that we would see technology? I remember back in the 70s hearing people, Mike McIntosh, you know, and Bible scholars talking about, yeah, the mark of the beast is some big computer. Well, I think we know that it probably isn't, but the mark of the beast is probably a computer chip. That back then when they were talking about computer chips, you guys remember back in the 70s, we didn't even own VCRs. You remember that? We watched TV when it used to be clean. The technology wasn't there then. Computer chips were the size of my glass case. Now they have silicon, which is basically sand. And they are talking about living chips that will be made out of protein. Fascinating. We live in a time right now where not only is it possible, it's here. Check out these pictures that we got for you. This is a company that you may have seen on the news. I told you I saw it on Channel 51 News, where they actually made fun of the Christians. This is a chip. You see it in the lower section. Is it showing up? You know what? Can you see the medicine bottles behind the one where he's holding it in his fingers? You see, they're trying to market this on many different arenas. They want to say that this can hold all of your medical information. They show it there as the size of a grain of rice. That's what they're marketing this as. And yet this single chip will be able to house information that would be able to hold all of your medical information. Amazing. They will inject it underneath the skin with a larger needle. It will be permanently there. They've been doing it for animals for years, a couple of years. Look at this next picture. By the way, that company is real. Applied Digital Solutions. There they show this little chip. It's hard to distinguish it there. Can you see it next to the dime? So it gives you an idea of the size of it, smaller than a dime. And they have, you know, hundreds of thousands of these medical devices surgically implanted into patients. Go ahead, next picture. There's another picture of it. Now you should be able to see them, they have, in the background, they have like little medicine bottles, so kind of giving you the idea. Come on, this will be able to tell every medication that you're on, so that if you get into an automobile accident, you're unconscious, they take a little scanner, wherever it will be, scan it. Oh, I know what this guy's on. You know, when you go to the doctors right now, they say, are you allergic to any medication? They won't ask you. They'll just scan your hand and they'll tell you all about your medical stuff. You won't have to fill out all those papers. Here we see in the Washington Times, this story was carried where they were seeking FDA approval for this human chip implant. And I heard, I need to verify it, but somebody said after first service that they got it. Interesting. So they were saying, oh, it'll be voluntarily implanted. These guys, this company that's based in Florida, even went so far as to go to Christian evangelicals to make sure that they sold the product. This isn't the mark of the beast, guys. They went on the 700 Club to say, see, this is not the mark of the beast. It's merely a tool to gather information. Check out the next picture. This is, You know, and many of us have heard these stories that, you know, I heard about this dude down in Australia that had his hand scanned. Well, these guys, here's a family that, a Florida family, this shows a picture of Derek Jacobs to be the first kid to have an information storing computer chip implanted into his body. They call his family the Chipsons instead of the Jetsons. It's kind of a play on words. But there you see it next to the penny. And it kind of looks like one of the old tubes. You know, remember our old TVs? You pull a tube out and put one in, test them. Kind of looks like a little tube. So this is a family that it says right here, imagine having an ID card that could store any personal information about you, including your medical history. But also, as I told you, that I saw it on Channel 51 where they said they showed an open purse and an open wallet with all the credit cards saying, this chip will replace everything in your purse and in your wallet, including all of your credit card numbers and everything. Next picture. Here's another one where Business Week even got onto this. Roll up your sleeve for a chip implant, and they carried the story of the Chipsons. Next picture. Here we see another way that they're marketing this. Chips, and this is BBC, do you see that? British Broadcasting, to fight kidnapping. We have a satellite that's up in the sky that will know where each one of these chips are at. And don't you think that it's fascinating that after 911, where they're trying to find these people, if they had these chips implanted in their body, they would know right where they're at. If this little girl, Danielle Van Damme, would have had this chip, the next morning we'd have been able to find out right where she's at. But notice the other things off onto the right where it says, see also, chips to keep family healthy, keeping tabs on kidnap victims, implant benefits Parkinson's patients, insulin chip may replace stomach jabs, or, you know, where they have to give themselves shots, or spine implant offers hope. And so these things can automatically tell a machine to give you insulin. So, amazing, all of them carrying the same thing. It's been on our local news. I don't know if it's been on all of them. But check out this next picture. Here we see the Washington Post carried it. Again, you see Applied Digital Solutions, Inc. The name of this chip is called the Very Chip. And again, you see it on the second paragraph, about the size of a grain of rice. Go ahead, next one. Here we see hand scanners. Oh, you know what, guy? Take me back to the BBC one. I'm sorry. Somebody said that they saw something on there, and I wanted to show it to you. Notice this at the very bottom. Where do you see it? Oh, that's right. Kevin Warwick, savior of humankind. I think he's one of the guys that is working on this whole chip implant. He's one of the guys that works for this company. Interesting. I missed that. I didn't see that in first service. Okay, go ahead. We see hand implant or hand scanners now. And again, you remember several years ago when we went through the book of Matthew, probably 7 years ago, I was telling you biometrics is the technology of the future, human identification. It's still the technology of the future. And here you see, in this one right here, the bank's use of an eye scanner is the first time large private company has tried to use biometrics as a consumer tool. Human ID scans your eye, and it connects you right into your database at the bank to where you don't have to use cards. You can't get ripped off, and amazing. Who would have ever dreamed, guys, that 20 years ago, the technology would be available for you and I right now? Now, is this the mark of the beast? No. Would I get one? No. It scares me. Let me tell you why this is scary, gang. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Get rid of your credit cards. Put one in your child so that if your child ever got kidnapped, you'd know right where they were at. No one could steal from you ever again. You wouldn't have to carry cash. Cashless society would be intact. just scan your hand. The scanners are already available. They're talking about giving them to ambulance drivers. It makes so much sense to me. That's what just boggles the mind. It makes so much sense. Now, why do I bring this up to you? Because God is allowing, in His grace and in His mercy, He has given us His Word. And in His Word, listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, "Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman." But he says this, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." I share this with you today so that if you've been sleeping, oh, wait. Someday I'll become a Christian, maybe. I still have so many questions. None of this stuff really makes sense to me. I'm having a hard time trying to figure it all out. I don't know if I want to do that, because that might mean that I have to give up some fun. I want you to see, and I'm trying to show you here today, that the information is available right now for this kind of technology to have global security, cashless society, a one-world economic system. The technology is here right now. So that if you've been sleeping for the past several years, saying, I'll become a Christian later, I'm not sure I'm buying into that whole thing. You know, Rob, I think you're right wing, you're alarmist. You know, well, listen, gang, it's going to happen. And God has said, I'm warning you ahead of time so that if you've been sleeping, wake up. So that if you're sitting here today and you've been just playing the game and really thinking, well, you know, this church thing, I'll go because my parents make me or my husband makes me, but I'm not really buying into it. What are you doing? God loves you. He gave you a warning today to say, it's time for you to get right. It's time for you to secure your e-ticket for the rapture. You can have your sin forgiven. You can have an abundant life and a relationship with the Creator of the universe that loves you and wants what's best for you. Why wait for the tribulation period when this stuff is going to come out and you'll be persecuted heavily? If you're here today and you once walked with the Lord and you made a detour somewhere along the line, well, I got tired, I had some troubles happen in my life, and so I just gave it up. And for some reason you're here today, God is saying, listen, wake up. I love you. I'm showing you the technology is here that no one ever dreamed it would be here, and here it is. Wake up. Today, if you need to give your life to Jesus, you need to do it today. Don't wait. We might not be here tomorrow. Who knows? If you've been playing games, you've walked away from the Lord, get it right today. Don't wait. Immediately after this next song, there will be people on each side of the auditorium that are ready to pray with you. They want to talk to you. They will give you a Bible, and they will introduce you to Jesus Christ, and they will then give you that assurance that if you died tonight or if the rapture took place tonight, you're going to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you, God, that you have given us these reminders and you've revealed this technology to us right now. I pray, Lord, for anyone in this room that hasn't yet surrendered to you, if they're scared, good. If it will scare them into the kingdom of heaven, good. For us as Christians, there's no reason to be afraid because we will never see this stuff. If they are backslidden, Lord, may you draw them back to yourself. May they rededicate their life to you today. And may we, Lord, leave this place knowing that our destination for heaven is secure. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.